Welcome back, friends, to another episode of The Amber May Show. I am so glad you're here because we have a different guest today. I have Sister Irene from Sisters Rising Worldwide, and she is joining us today. And she's going to talk about the work she has done in human trafficking and the work her fellow sisters do worldwide. It's really fascinating, the work that they're doing, and you and I can get involved and help. So that's what we're talking about today. So please like, share, and subscribe. If you believe in what I'm doing, please consider becoming an angel investor. And the easiest way to do that is going to theambermayshow.com. Hit the donate button, and you can donate whatever you feel you can donate, or you can be a $5 monthly subscriber by going to theambermayshow.locals.com. That really helps support the program. I always add more content. You can join me on Telegram at The Amber May Show on Telegram. I'm on True Social Amber May, Frank Social Amber May, and on Clubhub, so you can find me there. If you're looking for a great website, check out jawdd.com. That's for jawdroppingdesign.com. They do an amazing job on our website, so check them out. If you're looking for a great gift, because Christmas is around the corner, check out thecommandersartist.com. And when you're there, use promo code Amber at checkout, and you're going to save some money. Well, without any further ado, I would love to welcome Sister Irene to the program. Well, like I said, I have Sister Irene joining us on the show. Thank you so much for dropping by today and spending some time with us.
Happy to be here. Don't you know?
See, I told her I was going to joke with her because she's from Minnesota. And I said, you got to throw a don't you know in there once in a while in our program. So there we go. And if you want to drop a couple more, I'm fine with that too. But yes, I love America because we have all kinds of accents from the West Coast to the East Coast to the Midwest to the North. And so we all sound different and we all have our little twang. So it's really wonderful to live in the United States. So Sister Irene, I found out that you guys are not a part of the Catholic Church. Is that correct?
Well, that's kind of a strong way to say it. What it is because we are a Catholic organization, obviously, sisters are, but we are incorporated independently, if that makes any sense. You know, like there are some sisters around the United States who are, they would say, like, report to the local bishop. You know, okay. They would be, I don't know, subscribed under them, but we chose the Pope. So we're called a papal institution. So it's, you know, but we don't get money from the church. How's that? That's what we don't get. We're not financially connected to the Catholic Church.
Interesting. That's really interesting to me because, see, I had assumed that if you're a nun, if you're a sister, then the Catholic Church is going to help you on some level. I met some nuns here, some sisters here that are a part of the Lutheran Church that weren't Catholic at all. And they had this beautiful prayer garden here in Phoenix. And a lot of people like go into it. So I know for sure there's at least two different types of nunnery sisteries, that one from the Lutheran Church and one from the Catholic Church. But that really surprised me that you guys aren't funded at all from the Catholic Church. Like, they don't even give you like a little salary to like live off of.
No. If you are employed by a job by the Catholic Church, then you get, you know, they get either a stipend or a salary. I don't know what the arrangements are, because our people usually, we're working out in clinics and shelters and, you know, schools and different kinds of things. So but that's not, you know, it's kind of like what we do is we do the work of the faith, our faith, with our Catholic faith. We do that work. And that's what we pay attention to. We feel very strongly about reaching out to the neighbor and helping the neighbor, which seemed to be the message of Jesus. That's how we certainly interpret.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, when we think of the nun, the Catholic nun, we think of the habit, you know, but I mean, that's not something you guys wear on a regular basis, right?
Right. Well, do you know what the background is of the habit?
No, I don't. Okay.
It's really the outfit of the widow. So like when I'm a sister of St. Joseph, and when the Sisters of St. Joseph were founded in France back in the 1600s, they were widows were able to walk into other people's homes, and they were more free around their villages. But if you were like a single woman and you went into somebody's home unescorted, people thought you were a prostitute. Mm-hmm. And so what the women did was disguise themselves as the French widow. So that was the outfit that they wore. The black and white outfit was the widow's outfit.
Oh, wow.
And the funny thing is that they just kept wearing it for hundreds of years. So the point was to blend in, really, so that you would just blend into society and you were free to help others. So now what we do is we blend into society and we're free to help others.
I love it. I love it because I don't know if you're familiar with this show at all, but on Netflix, they have a show that has midwifery and they're nuns and they work with nurses and this nunnery. They all help their community with medical, providing nursing care and midwifery. And it's a cute little show on Netflix. But of course, the sisters all wear the habits and then the nurses wear their nursing outfit. So you can differentiate between the two, but it was it's a beautiful show. It's a really great show on Netflix that they have that. So that's, you know, all I know is like Hollywood and what I saw also here with the Lutheran nuns, and they had like a habit light, so to speak. Like they had like a gown that kind of looks somewhat like a nunnery gown kind of, but not like the full habit. And then they would wear something over their head. So I would say like, habit light is what I was exposed to.
In training, like in the not back in the day when they were wearing habits, the people coming in, the young women coming in, wore outfits that were the training, like the novitiate training or something. They weren't the full habit. So
yeah, could be.
Yeah, I, you know, it's just came from it came so that you could blend into society. So the Sisters of St. Joseph, anyway. When Vatican II came in the 60s, went right back to that. The church was saying, go back to how you were founded. Do what you were doing when you were founded. And it was to blend in and just, you know, help others. And so
how did you decide to do this? Go into ministry full time, become a sister. Like, how did that journey begin for you?
Oh my gosh. Well, actually it happened, when I was in college, believe it or not, I had gone to Catholic schools and there we had sisters and they were really fun. So I always thought of it just as that they were fun. But by the time I finished high school, I was thinking, I don't want to go to an all-girl university at that point. I wanted to go to the university here in Minnesota. Boys were awfully cute. So I was at the university and I was taking some classes in theater, and one of my teachers was a nun.
Oh, wow. At the university?
At the University of Minnesota. Right. And it was years later that I realized that our sisters, now Sisters of St. Joseph, have a university here called St. Catherine's University, and the University of Minnesota would use their faculty and to augment their faculty at the University of Minnesota. So there were a couple of nuns apparently teaching at the University of Minnesota who were also faculty members at the University of St. Catherine. And so I had this drama teacher and the class was called How to Teach Teachers How to Teach Drama. And I thought, well, that sounds fun, you know, and the teacher, would use different classrooms. You know, we'd go to different schools around the area because she was also a student teacher supervisor, so she had access to a lot of schools. And she would teach us by actually working with children. And it was probably the third class that I was in her course there, where I realized she was actually teaching the children how to love themselves unconditionally.
Oh.
And it hit me so strong. And I thought, she's using drama to help free them up. Wow. I mean, anyway, that's what I got from the class. And I thought everybody in the class got that. I didn't know, you know, I just assumed that they did. And I just loved that class. And it was at the end of the last class of that semester that the sister came to me and she said, Irene, in a couple of weeks, I have a workshop that I'm giving on this same technique in Iowa and in North Dakota. The same weekend, I'm buying a ticket for North Dakota and I want you to teach that class. And I was just shocked because I thought, you know, what? But I knew that I knew the content. I knew exactly why and how she did it. So I felt confident doing it. However, she said, now you come to my house and I'll have a suitcase prepared with all the materials that you need. And why don't you stay for dinner? So we sat around the table for dinner and there were all these other women sitting there and they were talking about their day. And so one said, we had 10 people arrive at our hospital today. They came on a bus. They as a family, and they were full of lice and we helped them and it was winter and do you have clothes? And well, I called Sister So-and-so, do you have clothes for 10 people? Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Then I asked them if they had housing. No. And I called the other sister and said, now, do you have housing at your place for 10 people? Oh yeah. And, you know, and then, I mean, it was so phenomenal to me because each sister went around from her, what she did that day. And I thought, who are these people? You know, they were solving problems just right at immediately as they were happening and the people in need and there wouldn't have been another option. And so I just got in. The more I was asked to do workshops, she would say, now I'm going to be at a party this time so you can come and you'll have the suitcase there. And, you know, so at the party, there was a break. I think it was a football party or something. And there was a break in the action and somebody yelled, hey, I need 20 beds. And somebody else said, I have 20 beds. And I'm like, you can't have 20 beds.
Yeah. No.
The answer was that she works in a hospital and they rotate the beds and there were 20 beds. And then they said, well, how are you going to get move 20 beds? And another nun says, I got a truck. And they're like, you don't have a truck. And she says, no, but I have people with trucks. And so it was just, they were so interesting. I kept getting deeper and deeper into the fact that they weren't just helping just the next person. They were solving some society problems and starting shelters and doing important things. And it was really exciting to me. So anyway, that's what pulled me in.
Hey, I'm going to get to that thought in just a second, but right now I'm going to take a quick break.
So many of us think that sleep is a luxury. Sleep is not a luxury. Sleep is a necessity. It's going to help you restore all your bodily functions, help your body recover, recoup. It's something that we need to function on a daily basis. We need to feel restful. And if you're not feeling restful because you're not getting a proper night's sleep, then I have something just for you. I just absolutely adore Dr. Stella. She comes out with some great supplements. And here's one of the newest ones she came out with, and it's Kobe Sleeps. So if you have trouble going to sleep at night and you want a more restful night's sleep, go to drstellamd.com, go to her supplement section and purchase this and use promo code AmberMay, one word, and you'll save some money there. Not only does it help promote a more restful night's sleep, it helps with stress and joint function. So if you have stress, you have joint function, you're also not getting a good restful night's sleep, you need to go to drstellamd.com, get these Kobe Sleep Bites right now and save money by using promo code AmberMay.
America, Patriots, we are currently on the Amber May Show, so stay tuned. Amber May.
I'm excited to announce that we're having our biggest Christmas sale ever. You get our brand new six-piece My Towels for only $29.98, or rejuvenate your bed with a My Pillow mattress topper as low as $99.99. Or how about My Pillow bed sheets for as low as $24.98? There's something for everyone. duvets, quilts, down comforters, body pillows, bolster pillows, and so much more. Well, I know my pillow products make for the perfect Christmas gifts, so I'm going to extend my money-back guarantee until March 1st, 2024. So go to MyPillow.com now or call the number on your screen. Use your promo code to get huge discounts on all my pillow products. For example, you get our six-piece towels for only $29.98, or get your very own MyPillow bed sheets for as low as $24.98. It's our biggest Christmas sale ever. Get all your shopping done now while quantities last.
You are listening to The Amber May Show, and now we return to the show already in progress.
Basically.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Now, are you a nurse as well?
No, I ended up going into education.
Okay.
So I ended up, in education.
Because some of what to me, from what I understand about Sisters Rising Worldwide or your fight against human trafficking, we can get into some of that. I thought maybe possibly you guys had some nursing with you, or you became a nurse, because it just sounded to me like, from what I understood about some of the stuff you did, that might have come in handy as you help people with different problems worldwide. I don't know if you want to go into what you do with Sisters Rising Worldwide with the human trafficking that you're a part of.
I think God is doing
a big work, don't you think? Did you get to see the movie Sound of Freedom?
I did not see the movie, but I know the story. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. I would think so because you work with traffic survivors. So yeah, I mean, I think God's doing a big work right now in exposing how there is a form of slavery today, and it's called sex slavery. And so I think God's doing a big work in trying to expose that and free people from that life. So yeah, tell us about what you're doing with Sister Rising Worldwide.
Well, excellent. Thank you for the opportunity. Sisters Rising Worldwide is actually an organization of 650,000 nuns around the world.
Wow.
And we're in all the countries, and most of the places where you find the sisters are in the poorest areas. And so what Sisters Rising Worldwide does is a couple of things. One is we provide a platform for sisters only, where they can come on and they can tell us what they're doing and what they need, what the problem is in the area. They can also share best practices with each other. So when you think of just the area of human trafficking, there's a lot of important information that keeps surfacing that the nuns learn from being on the ground where people are vulnerable to being trafficked. And so, but where do they put that information? You know, there wasn't any place really to put it where other sisters could access it. So we have a resource library on our platform where they can go in and find out the latest things that they should be aware of, and things that they do that are very effective. So they're exchanging best practices and that kind of stuff. So the sisters around the world, what we knew, those of us who founded Sisters Rising Worldwide, we knew that if you asked any sister, no matter where she is on the planet, what the root cause is to the poverty around her, she would name it. And it's just, you know, it's like, oh, to her, it's like a duh, of course I know that. Mm-hmm. And it's because they live there. They're part of the people. And so because they choose to live in areas where people are vulnerable, it is the vulnerability that makes somebody accessible to being trafficked. Mm. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And so what the sisters' solutions are vary according to the area. So in some places, like just say Kenya, for example, where they have to walk, the young women have to walk sometimes a mile, 2 miles to get water.
Mm-hmm.
So that right there, they're vulnerable. But if they had a water catchment system at their home or at their school, they wouldn't need to be walking for water. So that stops the trafficking, them being vulnerable for trafficking in that area. In other places, if they're sick, I mean, if they're where you're saying, you know, that we have nurses, well, there's a lot of sisters who are nurses all over the world.
I mean, some of the first nurses were nuns that I know, yeah, right. Like Nightingale.
Yep.
And so on. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. Right. Yeah. If you were to get down to some of the founding institutions in just about any country, you'd probably find the sisters started them. And then mm-hmm. once they're stable, they often move to the next issue, you know? Mm-hmm. But anyway, so if they are a lot of sick people and they're vulnerable to being trafficked because they just can't care for themselves kind of, and they reach out to others, maybe, how can you help me? And, you know, get promised things that aren't true, and they get snatched. Or a big deal is education, because they have, you know, they can't read, they can't write, they can't, whatever it is, or they're in some places in India, there are people who are pushed outside of society. So the sisters serve them in particular the women. And the women often have to move out of the house because they're not, you know, they're not seen as valuable, you know. So the sisters educate them, and they also teach them job skills.
Oh, wow.
So the education and the job skills keeps them from being vulnerable, for being trafficked. But there's one place in India that's interesting, where they got the education, they got job skills, and it was so successful that they kept getting more and more of these women coming to join their schools and their trade centers. And the sisters were setting up internships. And so the more people that came, the further out the internships had to be, you know. But they didn't have the money to help the women get from the school to the internship. And the women were walking to the internships and getting trafficked along the way. So these sisters apply to Sisters Rising Worldwide, and we start crowdsourcing for a van. They needed a van. And so we get a van, and that stops the trafficking in that area. And so it's a way, so Sisters Rising Worldwide is a way for these sisters to surface what they know is needed that would end the poverty in their area. And that ending that poverty is also ending the potential of trafficking there. That's one way of, so we communicate with each other, but they also tell Sisters Rising Worldwide what it would cost, what they need to solve the problem. Excuse me. So we have a public website, and that address is srw.org. So it's sistersrisingworldwide.org. And there you can see, if you pull up that website, you'll see that we're crowdsourcing for the latest problems. And so we feature sometimes 6 to 9 programs. And all those solutions, everything that's on there, you'll see, would be, in the end, would be keep people from being vulnerable to being trafficked. Mm. So most of it's with women and children, you know, young males to babies. I mean, it's just, anyway.
It's hard for me to believe that there are babies being trafficked, and there are. I have seen news articles with people bragging about how they get pleasure. Bragging in a news article from babies. It's disgusting.
Yeah.
So disgusting.
It has to be, we have to stop it. I mean, this is going to take all of us to learn about what makes somebody vulnerable for trafficked. And it's not 100% poverty. There are, sometimes it's just that somebody's extroverted and they're asked, you know, we worry about coffee shops around college campuses where people are being, oh, you're so beautiful. If you worked as a model, you could pay off your tuition in a shorter time than if you just get a regular job, you know. And I know the person who runs the photography company, and, you know, so they
now that you say that, when I was 16, I worked at a shoe store, and I got gentlemen coming up to me on a regular basis, and I knew it had to do with porn, and they wanted me to be a part of that world.
Yeah.
I mean, they didn't flat out come out and say, I want you to be a porn star, but I knew what they would ask me questions, and those questions regarded like explicit shows, and they would constantly approach me, and it got me nervous, but at the same time, I was smart to get like away from them and stop helping them. I mean, nothing further happened with that. But like, I was a 16-year-old girl. I remember being approached by really dirty men. I mean, they didn't look dirty. I mean, they looked well groomed and everything, but like what they wanted was awful. Yeah. Now that you say that, that kind of comes to mind.
Yeah. It is, you know, it is. And imagine if you were vulnerable, you know, imagine if you were homeless.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they would offer you a place to be, you know, they befriend you or, you know, so it is, it's important to get the word out. And the thing about Sisters Rising Worldwide and people helping the programs that we feature up there, you know, we change them, we fund them, and then we move the next ones that are queued up on, is that literally everybody who donates can feel like, I just made the world better. I just made the world better. And it might be one day, it might be in Nigeria, another time it might be in Senegal, it might be in the United States, you know, it might. So it, I want everybody in the world to feel empowered that they can literally make the world better. And they can trust that when they give money to us, it's going to the programs.
And speaking of the United States, how does Sisters Rising Worldwide, or maybe your Sistery of St. Joseph, how do you guys, what do you guys see the need of in the United States? How do you guys minister in the United States? Is there a difference, like how you do it in other countries versus here? I'd like to know, like, how that ministry side goes and what the need is that you guys see in the United States.
Well, the United States is, you know, every country is different. So we have a lot of problems in the United States. Child hunger is a big one, you know, so there is poverty. You know, there's a lot, housing is huge. We just turned our provincial house, which is was a retirement community for our elderly sisters. And we have room for, I think there's like 75 bedrooms anyway in there. And we just turned it over to a homeless organization. So now there are up to, you can house 100 people. Some of them are infants and stuff. And so we respond to the housing need for the homeless by contributing our property to that. Other communities are doing the same thing. We also have a shelter, which is another, it was an empty convent, which has 30 bedrooms for women who've been tortured, trafficked, and traumatized. Mm. And so respond there. But in the United States, because and most of the women there are from other countries. They come in through the Center for Victims of Torture. And so because we have a immigration and, you know, all over the United States, you know, those people are vulnerable, right? I mean, they come in, they've moved from their country, they don't speak the language, they're the number one most vulnerable towards like trafficking.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have a lot of responses in terms of ELL schools, English language learning schools, job skills. There's still the whole education system and the healthcare system was originally founded pretty much by the women religious. It depends on the area. You know, water's a big deal. As we talked about,
yeah, water beginning.
For water, sure, huge. And so the sisters, I mean, we don't necessarily have the same, it doesn't look like Kenya where they're walking with the buckets on their head. And,
right. You know,
but what the sisters are doing more working at the policy level. And so we're educated to the point where, you know, we serve on the boards or we buy stock enough in something where you can vote on the board and, you know,
do you know if there's any sisters in Arizona that are trying to help the water situation in Arizona?
The communities are. Yes, there are communities of women religious who are dealing with the water issue, but you don't see that necessarily because they're up at the policy level. Does that make, they're working through the, you know, it's not a political thing. It
Correct. Is
human needs. So they Correct. Are focusing yeah. on that. So they work on that, you know, in Arizona, we have a lot of sisters along the border and what they're doing is there's some that are finding the people who don't make it, didn't survive, even though they were allowed to cross, they had no transportation. So they were walking in the desert, or that they get lost when they're, mm-hmm. you know, or however it is, you know, so there's things like that. There's shelters all along on the Mexican side, right over the border, you know, where they're not, you know, they're waiting for their turn to be welcomed into the United States. There's that they pile up there. And so there's a lot of need there. I mean, there are babies being born and there are, you know, people who are sick and people needing medicine. And, you know, so there's so many needs.
Hey, I'm going to get to that thought in just a second, but right now I'm going to take a quick break.
Hey friends, I want to tell you what I recently did. I broke away from the big three. I was tired of the woke mogul, and I wanted to go to a Christian conservative company that I could trust that support the organizations that I value, and that is Patriot Mobile. So when you go to patriotmobile.com/Amber, you are going to get free activation. It is super easy to get started to switch from the big three to Patriot Mobile. They'll walk you step by step. It is not difficult at all. And I've had tremendous service since I made the switch. So I recommend if you want to vote with your wallet and support a company that supports your values, go to patriotmobile.com/Amber and save on a free activation. So that's patriotmobile.com/Amber. Now the links are in the description below or on my website at theambermayshow.com/promo. So check that out. So it's time to vote with our wallet, ditch the woke mobile, and go to a Christian conservative mobile. And that is patriotmobile.com/Amber.
Hey there, I'm Darren.
And I'm Randy.
We're from Patriots with Grit, and you're watching The Amber May Show.
Check it out.
In the early 1900s, like in 1920s, 30s, with $20, you used to be able to buy an entire men's suit. You could get the handkerchief, the tie, the vest, the jacket, the pants, the belt, everything. And you could also buy that with a piece of gold. Now, in today's standards, you can't buy much with $20, maybe a tie, maybe that's it. You could not even come close to an entire men's suit with a $20 bill. However, if you still had a piece of gold, you could still buy an entire men's suit with that piece of gold. See, silver and gold have intrinsic value, and it's had intrinsic value since the beginning of time. It's always been a currency around since the existence of man, gold and silver. So why not protect your investments and protect your earning power by owning some gold and silver? And the easiest way to do that is contacting Jim Tewell at EPSWealthManagement.com. That's Edward Paul Sam, WealthManagement.com, EPSWealthManagement.com. Give him a call and let him know you'd like them to have some tangible assets in your portfolio. You'd like to have some gold and silver, and he can help you do that. So if you're ready to protect yourself and protect your investments, then go ahead and give Jim Tewell a call, whom you've seen on our program at EPSWealthManagement.com. Let him know Amber May sent you.
You are listening to The Amber May Show, and now we return to the show already in progress.
So yeah.
Let's explore that topic because, you know, the cartel is a big part of the trafficking of humans, whether it's sex trafficking or just bringing people over across the border illegally. How do the sisters protect themselves from dealing with these really terrible, dangerous men? I mean, I imagine it sounds like they're helping the victims of these dangerous cartel members. How do they, I mean, unless I'm picturing this differently in my mind, that maybe it's not the way it really goes in reality, but in my mind, I'm picturing these women see a need, but they're tied to the cartel. How do they protect themselves? Like, unless I'm seeing it in my mind's eye the wrong way.
Well, I have three stories colliding in my brain to answer. So I'm trying to think of which one should I say first. First of all, it's interesting to know that when people are moving from point A to point B, particularly when you think of migrants moving and refugees moving, they're the most vulnerable people. Anybody moving is the most vulnerable to the cartels and to traffickers. So that you mentioned that is really important because it's important for people to understand that. Secondly, we have this fabulous story of a sister on the other side of the border, Nogales, Mexican side.
Okay, because for people who don't know, Nogales is also on the American side. It's kind of split in half. So there's an American Nogales, which is very southern part of Arizona, and then there's the Nogales Mexican side.
Exactly. So this is on the Mexican side. So there's all these people coming from around the world, and they're piled up next to the board, next to the wall there. And of course, the cartel and the drug lords have followed them. And so the people in Nogales are angry at these refugees. They're angry because they brought this riffraff with them, right? They've made their town more dangerous. And they take it out on the migrants or the refugees. And they're already victims, you know, so it's just compiles. And the sister, I was working with another global organization. They're fantastic. Their name is Alight. That's the name of their NGO. And Alight has learned to ask the sisters, what do you say is needed? And then they respond to that need. And so, and that's a whole nother story, how we got a fabulous relationship together with the nuns and Alight. But this sister said, what I need most is an horno, or a beehive oven, and which looks like a pizza oven, sort of, you know, those ones where you take a long pole and you stick the pizza in and pull it out. So she wanted an horno and shade. And so Alight gave her this big pizza oven and shade. And this is why she wanted it. She said that the people in Nogales are so angry at the migrants, and they're not really the problem. You know, they just, the cause of the, I mean, the traffickers and the drug lords following them. But she knew, this sister knew, that every immigrant that came knew how to make bread. And this, it was hot summer. And so what she did was bought the stuff for the women to make bread in this oven. And they invited the citizens of Nogales to come and sit in the shade, and the migrants served them. And so... Wow. And so what happened, what was so beautiful about that is that they realized that they have the friendship. That's not the, you know, it's not the bad guys are the people that followed them, you know, the traffickers and stuff, but not the migrants. They're not the bad guys, you know. So anyway, it was just a beautiful thing. So then they could work together. So now you've got all those people being able to point out, there's the drug lord, there's the trafficker. You know, so it could get into the city rather than the people in Nogales thinking that the, you know, the bad guys were the migrants.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, so that's one story. Another story is in El Salvador. And this is my own personal firsthand knowledge, was visiting, being with the sisters down in El Salvador, where we know drug lords run the show. Mm-hmm. And the only people safe there are the nuns and the people they serve. So they're safe. So sisters serve anyone in need. And sometimes it's the gang member's family.
Hmm.
And sometimes, I mean, when a gang member is shot and is in the middle of the street, the sister will go out and cradle them. You know, I mean, you are with them, you walk with them. And then if somebody dies in a family, the sister will go to the family's house, and they could be all in the gangs. And the gang members know that the sisters serve everyone. They don't just serve the other gang, you know, they serve all. And that creates the safety net for them. And also, the gang members know that if somebody is really following in the footsteps of sisters, not to be a sister necessarily, but following, being with them, they leave them alone too. Hmm. And in El Salvador, they're starting to see a huge change over with that spreading. And the gangs are seeing that some of the youth that have come through the hands of the sisters are leaders just like the sisters are. So it's multiplying. And so... So I think that the sisters are cautious, but they know that they'd serve everybody. So,
do they bring the gospel into these homes when they're going into these gangs' homes, the cartel home, the drug lord's home? or in the community when they're helping someone in need? Are they bringing the gospel message of Jesus Christ?
Well, when you, I wish I could quote this better and tell you who said it, but it's like, how do you say it? It's like, be the gospel, only use words if necessary. So it wasn't, you know, it's not about preaching. It is about being. Does that make sense?
Well, it sounds like you're trying to demonstrate God's love to mankind, because the Bible says God is love. That's a character of God. And so it looks like you're trying to be the hands and feet of God. But sometimes people need to know a little bit more about, how do I get to know the God that the nuns know, that the sisters know?
When people ask, they're ready to learn in a different way. You know what I mean? So when they, but the first is being, is how are you with the people? How are you being? And it gets in it. Then it's a strong sense of, oh, I know what love is. I mean, some people don't have an experience of it. How can you say God is love if they don't have an experience?
That's true. So, some people have never felt real love in their life, and that's really, really sad to hear that. So how do you guys get money to be able to provide the necessities that these people end up needing, whether it's food, shelter, medicine? How do you guys fund all that?
Well, what is really wonderful is that people trust the sisters. You know, the 950,000 nuns around the world, we don't pay them. You know what I mean? Their organizations have figured out ways to feed their sisters, the different congregations or whatever, but they're offering their services. Now, there are some people who are working in jobs, some sisters that are working in jobs, that bring in money to the community so the rest can work without being paid. But otherwise, what we know is that people are good and people want to help. And what people say, we would give to sisters if we knew where they were. And most people can't find us. That's the problem. They don't know where we are. And so it was been really important, like for your interview now, even for people to hear, oh my gosh, there's 650,000 of them around the world. And there's an organization that I could go to that could help me find the sisters. So it's a matter of really getting the word out. Where are the sisters and what are they doing?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's, thank you for putting up the website. That when that's up, and when people can automatically go to the website, it'd be just fantastic, because the money goes right out the door to help those programs, like you see. And then, you know, in another couple of weeks, you'll see some more programs up there. And
so for my audio only listeners, the website is srw.org, srw.org. So if anybody wants to help donate and make a difference to what these sisters worldwide are doing, and it's called Sisters Rising Worldwide, where a bunch of nuns from around the world have come together to help fight different aspects of need, whether it's trafficking or education or just, you know, shelter. That's what they hear, and they're here for. And from what I understand, you guys have raised over $1 million and funded 30 different programs spanning over 13 countries. I mean, that's phenomenal. I mean, that's incredible. And I mean, you guys even help the people that are being trafficked here in the United States, you know? And that's something that we're finding out to be true here in the United States. You know, what I've learned about trafficking here is a lot of times family members will sell children into trafficking. An aunt, an uncle, sometimes a dad, and they get sold into trafficking. Have you come across that situation where family members sell a child into trafficking in the United States?
I personally haven't, but I wouldn't be surprised that others, we have sisters around the United States that work in with survivors of trafficking, almost in every state, probably in every state. And I'm sure that they've come across that. And again, it's poverty that drives that. You know, it's not, you know, somebody, the family, who knows, there wasn't enough, they couldn't feed them all, you know. It's so.
Or maybe a drug addiction that they need money for to support their drug addiction, possibly. Yeah. So yep. they sell their kid into that to feed their drug addiction.
Yep.
A lot of brokenness around the world. And, you know, I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. You're a believer in Jesus Christ. And we both know the only way we change this world is an introduction to Jesus Christ. Because God changes the hearts of man. We just do the best we can to introduce them to God. And then God does the rest. God, with the Holy Spirit, changes the hearts of man to do good, be better, heal the brokenness, the deepest wounds that are inside of each one of us. And so God bless you for the work that you do with the other sisters, because without people like us who knew the one true God, to introduce them to the one true God, to show them that, hey, if you have this deep wound inside of you that is not going to get healed any other way by God, I want to introduce you to God. Let the Holy Spirit work on you. I mean, I've gone through some deep hurts that only Jesus himself was able to heal. And I've Pastor Arthur Pavlovsky had another one. He was a pastor being persecuted in Canada. And I heard his testimony once, and we have a similar kind of testimony. And it was God coming to us, and he was the only one to take that deep, deep wound and heal us and free us from that pain, because only God can do that. So what I'm hearing you guys do as sisters is you're reaching the most vulnerable, people that have deep, dark pain and wounds. You're providing their humanitarian needs, and as a byproduct, showing God's love to introduce them down the road to Jesus. That's what I kind of hear. Do I have that right?
Yeah, I would say, yeah, we model, yes, you do. And how we approach people is in the way of the gospel is what we do. I mean, with love. I mean, we do it with love, and that's how we spread it.
Well, don't you know I got that right?
Don't you know?
Sister Irene, I want to thank you for your time today. You guys are doing a lot of good work. And if anyone wants to donate, the website is srw.org. That stands for Sisters Rising Worldwide.org. And they always put some needs up there. So if you want to donate, your money is going to really make a difference for people in this world. So thank you, Sister Irene, for devoting your entire life to serving mankind and to showing the love of God to mankind. So thank you so much for what you do in your life. I have to admit, that has to be very rewarding to know you're making an impact daily in the people.
It's been a great life. It continues to be a great life. Thank you, Amber. Thank you for what you're doing as well.
Thank you for joining us today on the Amber May Show. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Please make sure you like, share, and subscribe. And if there's someone that came to mind, please share this episode with them. Please follow us on Telegram at the Amber May Show, True Social Amber May, Frank Socially Amber May, or Clout Hub. I can't wait to see you next time on the Amber May Show.